This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
We welcome you back in. It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Live from our new digs here. We've been at the South Point for so long on the Lombardi Line, at least one half of the show. But we're here now at the Circa Sportsbook Studios here in downtown Las Vegas. This is your Tuesday crew all fall. Really excited for this with Mike Pritchard, former longtime NFL wide receiver, Falcons, Seahawks, Broncos. I'm Ben Wilson. I did not play for any of those teams, nor did I play in the National Football League. So one of us. I'm just a longtime Packer fan.
Okay. About what I can. Are you say. A Packer owner, though?
I'm not an owner.
No.
No, which is kind of it's a really I have no excuse.
Right.
It's weak. It's so easy to be a Packer mm-hmm. owner, and I just am not. I haven't done it.
Get on that.
I'm at least, like my extent. I just pick Mike's brain whenever we're off air about his experience playing with Brett Favre because that's just my okay. that's just my thing. I mean, Mike was interviewed for the Gunslinger book.
That's right.
By Jeff Perlman, the biography on Brett Favre. So that's that. And Mike, every time is like, really? Are we going to ask me again? You don't want to ask me about anything else for my pro career. You just want to keep asking me about Brett Favre. And I'm like, yeah,
well, we can talk college football too. National championship in 1990 out there.
You with always you. Like to remind so, me of, yeah, absolutely. Of a particular game in that 1990 stretch.
Because you graduate of
University of Missouri.
There you go.
Yes. And there was a big game that happened that year that Colorado notoriously.
You got to tell me why won. You guys out there in Columbia open up a fifth down grill. Bar and grill. You got to tell me why. Why do they do that to themselves?
We struggle with counting in Columbia, Missouri. Uh-huh. That's what I would. That would be my counter. So that's what happened.
Okay.
But the refs that day did not count very well. Anyway, it's going to be a blast. We're going to have this sort of banter all year. Tuesdays here during the NFL season. Also, as part of the new VSiN lineup, really excited to coming up at the top of our next hour. VSiN Big Bets with Amal Shah, Dave Ross. I'm sure Amal's sweating some tennis like I am already today. So a really fun show that we're excited to debut in an hour. So stay tuned all day. New lineup of shows getting underway. And it is Dave and Amal up next after us here on VSiN. As far as some of the headlines today, and we've got all the cut day action going on here. Pritch around the National Football League. I know a couple interesting ones have stood out to you over these past couple of hours that have come out. Vikings have cut bait now on their second, third, and fourth draft picks from last season, including Kellen Mond, who was assumed to be the heir apparent to Kirk Cousins. Yeah, that didn't work out. They cut bait after a single season. Philip Lindsay gets cut today as well. So those are, I know, the two that certainly on your radar you were at least interested to see at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see some big names. I mean, Josh Gordon, but, you know, where are they at with their career right now? You know, Philip Lindsay to be a running back out there with Indy. Was interesting because, you know, you just have a featured guy. You have an MVP caliber running back right there and a great offensive line. So sad, you know, Phillip does not really contribute from a special team standpoint. And, you know, you can see when you have a player that doesn't do that, then, okay, you're limited for opportunities, right? So that's a big part of the National Football League when you're going to hear names like, can they contribute from a special teams standpoint? One under the radar move, though, the Panthers acquire wide receiver Laviska Shenault from the Jaguars.
Oh,
think about this now, because if you look at the Carolina Panthers and air raid quarterback and Baker Mayfield, you think about DJ Moore, wide receiver Robbie Anderson at wide receiver Terrence Marshall. Remember that guy from LSU at wide receiver. And now you throw in Laviska Shenault as another wide receiver slash tight end. I mean, they're going air raid with Christian McCaffrey. That's what it seems like to me. With Carolina. So reading the tea leaves right there, a little bit different. Matt Rule from a college standpoint too. McAdoo calling plays. You got an air raid quarterback, you know, and Baker Mayfield, that's his strength. So I think that by adding to his strength with Laviska Shenault, makes Carolina very interesting right now.
And well, we talked about this earlier. There's general... You see all these general line moves coming out, especially after some of the preseason narratives have formed. And we always try to figure out, especially in the betting community, all right, is this real or is this just overblown public reaction? Carolina, in that week one game where it will be Baker Mayfield making his Panthers debut at home against his former team, whole lot of drama in the offseason for Cleveland, Baker Mayfield being just one of the many pieces there for Cleveland. Panthers are now up to a 2-point favorite, pretty much market-wide. So they've taken some more action from 1.5. There's still a couple 1.5s out there as well. Panthers now up to -2 in that game. That's one of the two line moves that to me really stand out that we've seen so far as a result of some of these preseason reactions in week one. Are you of the opinion that even with Jacoby Brissett starting for Cleveland, like this is still a really, really good roster and a team against a Carolina team that is trying to rebuild and looking for an immediate surge of life with Baker Mayfield now there in Charlotte? I don't know. I find myself a little bit skeptical of this move, but what say you here now that we're seeing the Panthers up to -2?
I am skeptical. I mean, it's a new situation for Baker Mayfield, but Baker Mayfield is an air raid guy. I mean, he's a, you know, when you go back to what he was in Cleveland, they were trying to change him, or he was trying to change his game, evolve his game that way. It worked early on, but then we saw the struggles with Baker too. Now that you're starting to cater towards Baker Mayfield, that's different. Right. And I don't know if Carolina feels like they're onto something here or not, but by that one personnel move right there, Laviska Shenault, I'm familiar with him, certainly being a CU Buff guy, but he's a versatile guy out the backfield. If you want to use him that way with Christian McCaffrey, he's a matchup type of player too, whether you want to use him in a slot or certainly as a tight end type of option. But with these weapons that he has right now, it's suggesting to me that they're getting more to what Baker is familiar with. And something that he's highly comfortable with too. So they still have to make it work though, Ben, right? I mean, this is all on paper. We get that, but everybody's on paper right now. But it is intriguing because it's a departure from whatever you thought in preseason Carolina was going to do offensively. I mean, I would throw that out the window, to be honest with you, because they just, from a personnel standpoint, with run CMC and all these wide receivers right now, I am intrigued by Carolina a little bit.
You're intrigued, I think, is a really good word to describe it at. And we also have to figure out what is the offense going to look like with Ben McAdoo calling plays. And it's something that, as you well know, it gets kind of it's sort of underreported to in the National Football League, or at least underappreciated maybe in the betting markets when you have, even if it's a new coach, or I should say a same coach and QB, even though that's not the case in Carolina, obviously. But even if it's sort of the same general personnel, when you bring in a new guy calling plays, there's naturally going to be some time it takes to figure out the cohesion there. So you have a guy in Ben McAdoo who's had a very interesting NFL history. I think interesting is an interesting word choice, I would say, of Ben McAdoo. How do you think that actually ends up playing out? I know we're all baking in the health of Christian McCaffrey, but what about McAdoo as a play caller? They're mixing in with Mayfield.
Well, you know, I think McAdoo as a play caller, he's going to do what he's most comfortable with his guy. You know, if Baker Mayfield is his guy and he knows that Baker Mayfield can struggle at times because of his height, you know, do I want to keep him in the pocket? What do I want to do with this type of player? I want to make him more comfortable, you know, and certainly they're going to have a meeting of the minds. And a lot of times quarterbacks and coordinators do this. What do you like? That's the, like, one of the top questions you ask. What are you comfortable with? And then as a play caller, you have to be comfortable with that as well, right? So the shift in personnel is very interesting to me from the Carolina Panthers standpoint with Baker. And, you know, they still have to protect. They still have issues and flaws that we saw last year. But that's what they worked in training camp trying to solve, right? And they feel like, okay, we're going to go with Baker. And a lot of people were comfortable making that decision early enough in that situation with a quarterback battle. Baker is just he's an alpha. He really is. And if, you know, the upside could be there if he can capture the locker room. To me, as a better, that's what I'm focusing on. But from a personnel standpoint, it displays to me that this team wants to feature Baker in a way that he's most comfortable.
And just the fact that this will line up, that they're facing Cleveland week 1, I'm a little skeptical of the line move, because to me, the personnel Cleveland has is still pretty obviously better than Carolina. And obviously that's what the line would indicate, but only just right on, if you were looking
at it. It's all about quarterback though, Brissett.
I get it.
Okay.
Cleveland won games with Case Keenum last year, just handing the ball off. I mean, I still argue if Baker Mayfield didn't try to be the hero last year, if they just shut him down, they probably make the playoffs a season ago, given how at least mediocre the backup quarterback play was last year. That's a different topic for a different time. I'll go, and it'll be like 10 years from now. I'll still be like, you know, remember the 2021 Browns? Like, they should have made the playoffs if they just shut down Mayfield for the season. But what will be interesting to see though is how that especially an offense like that, that's so multidimensional, looks in kind of what we've seen in the preseason was, and I thought Will Hill made a really good point when he joined us last hour, the illegal contact emphasis that has been, that's really the one thing we've heard from the officiating standpoint. And as we've seen those rules tinkered and changed slightly over the years from back when, you know, from when you played, when you could just, you know, clothesline a guy basically, and you had to deal with that every time you ran a route. What do you think of that from your perspective as a wide receiver? How is that realistically going to affect things in route running in general this year?
I am fascinated by this rule change or emphasis on it, because Will made a great point. Like on third down, what are you going to do as a defense? It depends on the down and distance situation too, right? I mean, it's like basketball to me when they change the rule about the hand check and everything like that. Eventually, you're going to see some zones on third and long if you're a defense. If you can win the early downs defensively and you force predictable down and distance situations, third and longs, I don't know if you're going to see man-to-man coverages. You're going to see some off coverages to avoid the illegal contact, right? And then you're going to hope that your pass rush can get to the quarterback. And if you look at teams, they build their teams from the outside edges there. From a defense standpoint, how do we disrupt a quarterback or how do we make a quarterback panic? So you're going to lean on that, which I think sacks could go up because you're going to see more zones. Mm-hmm. But defense has got to win on early downs. But the legal contact emphasis, also I'm wondering if defenses are going to say, look, let's play aggressive first and second down. Because if we do jam them and if we do get a legal contact, it's 5 yards. Like, we're not giving up a big play from that standpoint. Right. So I think defensively could have an edge on early downs if defenses are in meetings right now and they have that emphasis over illegal contact, let's be aggressive or on the earlier downs. You know, try to take the advantages away from the offense and force them in those third and long situations to where that can help us play those zone coverages and avoid those illegal contacts.
Yeah. Again, the emphasis has been reported on from the officials this year, more legal contacts. That is a point of emphasis. Likely going to see more of those. I think you make a lot of really good points, too. Like, it's those third and longs, like, as a fan, where you're just like, oh, come on, really illegal contacts. But that's going to happen a lot, I would think, at least especially early in this NFL season. Still a lot more football discussion to get to. Mike Sando, the outstanding longtime NFL writer, now writing for The Athletic, going to join us next as we roll on. It's hour number two of the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated every 10 minutes. You can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not only today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. One of the many tools you are going to be using, one Mike Pritchard. We were already talking about player props earlier. I think for a lot of us who are, you know, not, I wouldn't say casual football bettors, but we, like, at least for me, I need to do the deep dive just on the personnel, just to have that general understanding of these teams coming in. I'm sure it's a little bit different for you, because, like, you're the former player, like, you know all these teams so intimately, but you also you've kind of admitted, like, you want to be more in tune to the numbers actually and how the markets are.
Yeah, so I want to go to my strengths too, because I'm putting together a portfolio, and I realize that. During the playoffs, when everything's condensed, I can just focus on those limited teams. I'm going to do that during the regular season, too, as opposed to the entire field trying to know everything possible that's out there. I don't want to do that. I want to condense and certainly have a portfolio that I can focus on all year long.
Mike Pritchard, he was on the – I remember you had the Bengals in your, like, top five back in, I don't know, week six last year. And I was like, oh, really? Pritchard's got the – and then, sure enough, Bengals, you know, this guy. He was out in front of it. Somebody else who has been a great person to talk to for insights into the National Football League is Mike Sando, the longtime NFL writer, now writing for The Athletic, also on the Hall of Fame committee as well, which they just had another process there. So I know you've been very busy, Mike. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes of your time. Give him a follow, by the way, at SandoNFL. Today, as always, though, Mike, a big day around the National Football League, cut day today. We've seen some interesting names here and some interesting transactions as well. Anything that has stood out to you that you were not expecting to see what we've seen so far, at least today?
I don't think anybody was talking about, you know, the Eagles. We knew the Eagles were in the market for a safety, but we didn't know that they would make the trade with the Saints. So that one probably stands out the most, you know, beyond the move to re-up with Garoppolo. I think those are two that stand out to me.
You know what, Mike, on that Garoppolo news, I mean, there was all kinds of rumors out there, certainly. Are you shocked, one, that Jimmy G did restructure his contract to remain a 49er? I mean, I think he was going to restructure his contract no matter where he was going to go if he could find a trade partner.
Right. I think this has been such a weird situation because of his injury in the offseason. That was the whole problem of why he couldn't get traded. And then quarterback being a position unlike wide receiver or corner, you can't just have as many quarterbacks as you want. So teams make commitments, you know, their spots are filled. And I think in the end, this was a situation of what were the best options for both parties. Because if he goes to a bad situation as kind of a backup or in the mix, shoot, he may not look good this year. He may have a bad year. He could actually hurt himself. I think by staying and getting the no trade clause, he maintains some control. If there's an injury, he could be traded and get into a good situation if he approves it. And if not, then he gets to get healthy. And who knows, maybe this year, through an injury or through performance of Trey Lance, he could still be right back in the driver's seat with an offense he knows. And we've seen him win playoff games, get to the championship round. Look at the NFC this year. Them with Jimmy Garoppolo, they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So it's probably the best of a bad situation for him and the team, where they can reassess at the trade deadline and after the year, because he could be a commodity next off season if he's fully healthy.
And Mike Sando joining us right now here on the Lombardi Line. Give him a follow again at Sando NFL. You talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, and I look at his former team, New England. We were discussing as well how some of these preseason reactions and narratives are, whether or not you really have a lot of weight you put into them. And as you know, a lot of your colleagues are outstanding beat writers there for New England. That's kind of been a long tradition. We've had a lot of outstanding beat writers there. And all the reports you've seen, Mike, it's pretty much been negative around that offense, around the play calling in New England. How much stock do you put into all the reports we've seen there out of Foxborough and camp this season?
I put some stock into it. I mean, look, I spent one day there, and I'm not going to say that I analyzed the whole thing off of one day of practice, but I think you just have to, at 10,000 feet, look at this thing and say, I don't feel great about the play calling situation. And I do understand that Bill Belichick has a system and a language and a vernacular and all of that. And he's not the type of guy who's going to hire some coordinator to bring in a different system to New England, right? So he's probably a little bit limited. So he gets a couple guys that have been around that know how they do it there, but you cannot tell me that, we should be expecting great things from the non-offensive coaches, really, that they have to possibly call the plays, especially when it hasn't looked that good. So I think burden of proof was never on New England for all those years with Brady, because it was just going to be automatic that it was going to be good, and you were a fool if you can criticize them. I think the burden of proof is now back on New England to kind of prove to us, because it's not automatic anymore. They've had a down year. They were just pretty good last year, and there's real question.
Mike, excited about week one in the National Football League. We got to wait a minute. That's okay, a little bye week situation. But I got to get your thoughts on this big, big game up there in Seattle. Denver, yeah. Certainly with Russell Wilson going up against his former team. I mean, it's -6 from a Denver standpoint, being a road favorite with Russell. My question to you, though, is like, leaving Lockett and leaving DK Metcalf, which I believe is a better duel than Sutton and Judy. The emotions, though, for Russell, we saw Manning struggle with emotions back in Indy. We saw Brady struggle with emotions too. You know this guy. What do you expect, Russell, and how do you expect that to unfold out there up there in Seattle?
I think it's a tough spot for him in the first game out, and especially now you don't really play in the preseason anymore. I think he's somebody who has been in the same spot for a long time and has some comfort zone, you know, for him. And I think with him, as talented as he is, there's always been certain parts of the infrastructure there that have helped him thrive, right? With either the running game or style of play. I think it's a really hard situation for him to have to go on the road when Seattle's going to know him better than Denver knows him, right? Yeah. And then you throw in the wrinkle of Seattle's going to have a new defensive scheme. They are going to more of a Fangio type of defense. They brought in Sean Desai from Chicago, and they elevated Clint Hurt, the D coordinator, who is also a Fangio disciple. So Seattle hasn't shown any of their defense in the playoffs. And by the way, in the preseason, and by the way, Wilson has kind of struggled against some of those callers in the past. The Staleys and those types of guys that play that system. So, you know, I mean, it's a great theater, and certainly you think Denver's going to be better than Seattle this year, but that has the potential to be a scary game for me, for him right out of the gate.
And especially too, you think about some of these other teams. We always try to avoid just making the blanket assumptions, right? Like Team A is just going to be bad because of the natural perception or the personnel you hear around them. Of that grouping of teams this year, of which there are several that are just kind of on paper assumed, all right, these teams are going to be in the tank and fighting for a number one overall draft pick. Is there a team in that mix that you actually think maybe is getting a little bit too much disrespect that might actually surprise teams and not be toward the dregs of the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I think that I'm curious to see what Jacksonville does after, just going from such a bad situation with Urban Meyer. That's hard to quantify. But they were a team. They're a team. What's their number? 6.5, probably something like that. You know, like it just wouldn't shock me if they. That's actually a decently high number for as bad as they've been over the years.
but a lot of love on the Jags this year. Yeah.
They're the sort of team that, you know, I could see. And I'm kind of looking here because I've got the teams in front of me in the NFC. I don't see it for Atlanta. You know, Seattle is like I would go over on Seattle. I sort of have a theory. We'll see if this is true because their quarterback situation is very concerning. I had this theory that the great coach usually doesn't just have a completely crappy 2-14 year back in the day. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you look at Pete Carroll when he started out in Seattle, they went 7-9 twice without a good roster, especially the first year, with uncertainty at quarterback. You know, Charlie Whitehurst is playing, an aging Hasselbeck. You know, when you have the great coaches like that, I think you have a hard time finding really bad records for them a lot of the time. Jimmy Johnson's an exception, but he like intentionally teared it down so much. I don't think Seattle's torn it down here. They lost one guy who they didn't even have last year at full strength, and then they didn't have him for certain games. So I'm not saying I'm optimistic on their quarterbacks. I do think that Geno Smith is less volatile. I think Drew Lock has a much better chance to go lose the game. Mm-hmm. But like that wouldn't surprise me if they were better than their perception. Like I don't think they're going to be the 15th team in the NFC.
5.5. I mean, we know the juice now is up to -140. Right. I certainly agree with a lot of what you're saying, Mike, as well. Would make a lot of sense when you have the pedigree of one Pete Carroll there in Seattle. Mike Sando again joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Outstanding NFL writer there for The Athletic, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. He'll be the awards voter as well this season for all the NFL awards as well. Give him a follow once again at Sando NFL. Mike, really appreciate the time. Outstanding insights as always. I'm sure we'll be catching up with you as well a little bit later this season.
Thank you, and always great saying hello. And my guy, Mike Pritchard.
Of course.
Great to see you, Mike, as well. Take care.
Sando, he gets to vote on the Hall of Fame, and you are a Southern Nevada Hall of Famer as well, Mike Pritchard.
Colorado Hall of Fame. Throw that in there, too.
I was going to go there.
Mike, I mean, think about Seattle. Mike Sando, the late, great John Clayton up there, too. I mean,
you guys, I talk about New England having really good beat reporters. You got, back in the day when you played in Seattle, some outstanding beat reporters. So, yes, thank you so much to Mike Sando. Talking about college, we're going to go to the college ranks up next. Bet it or forget it, our rendition continues on the other side here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It's football season, and bettors know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber and get our comprehensive college and pro guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up early, and for a discount at $175, you'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. I'm Ben Wilson, back here at our Circa Sportsbook Studios, the new home for the Lombardi Line on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, at least. When Patrick and Michael have their off days, back with Mike Pritchard, who's going to be with us every single Tuesday and some Wednesdays, including tomorrow, on the show. So really excited for that. You're all football season long, and not only is it NFL time, Pritch, but we've got week one, college football. This Thursday, 2 days away after we got the appetites wet.
Right.
A few week zero games. But now the real deal begins. And so we'll do a tradition that we've discussed before on the Lombardi Line. Bet now or bet later as far as where these lines are moving at the moment. We're already seeing some significant movement here. Let's start with the backyard brawl. Mm. Big game Thursday night in Pittsburgh. And I feel like unknowns are kind of the theme, Pritch, for a lot of these teams into week one. And you certainly feel that with a Pitt team that loses Kenny Pickett, stays in the city of Pittsburgh, right, but to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we're going to see Keaton Slovis, the USC transfer, in at quarterback. But Mark Whipple, their OC, is out, goes to Nebraska, who we just saw this past weekend. And a lot of question marks about how Pitt will respond as a result. Taking on a West Virginia team that was 6-7 a year ago, another transfer coming in. Right. JT Daniels, formerly of Georgia and the USC recruit, he'll be set not to be the quarterback there. So this is an interesting one. And some books now are starting to creep up towards 8. Still pretty much 7.5 market-wide, including their Pritchett to BetMGM.
Rivalry games, though. And be cautious of big numbers, I think, in rivalry situations, because what do teams do all year long, in particular West Virginia, to gear up for the big dog, if you will. I mean, going on a bus ride from campus to Pitt is going to be interesting, right? It's going to be a ton of fans there. Everybody's excited about that first game. But I've been in these games as a college player, and whether or not you know that you're better than your opponent, say your little brother, Colorado State, you know, you go to Fort Collins and you're like, oh, we're going to speed them down. It's going to be a great game. We're going to go up there and put up a lot of stats. And all of a sudden you look in the fourth quarter and you're tied. Right. So new quarterbacks, I mean, JT Daniels, I think probably has a path to the NFL, and that's why he's transferring all over the place. And I believe he might have found a home with this offense too. So rivalry games, I mean, if this number it gets big enough, or even if you look at a teaser situation, it's very attractive with these rivalry situations for me.
Especially, too, like a actual season opener in the rivalry game, because for years, Colorado, Colorado State, that was your opener, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of how it started. And you were also, that was back when you did have the traditional, it was actually at the campus sites, which made it, which kind of ramped up the rivalry even more. That's when we get this. Will be at Heinz Field there Thursday night. So that, I wonder too, just how the preparation, it's got to be different, right? When you go through camp, when you know, like, instead of just putting Alcorn State as the team on the board, the countdown, it's got to be different, right? If you're putting your biggest rival or one of your top two or three rivals on the board for week one, and that's what you have all summer to prepare for,
right?
I would think that even with so much new personnel, that probably tightens things a little bit as far as the margins are concerned.
It will, Ben, because, I mean, you work on it in spring ball. I mean, to be honest with you, you work on it throughout the summer, certainly through training camp, too. You have a portion of practice in which you are going to work specifically on that football game. And then you get into your game week preparation, too. So, no, it's college football is so much different than a national football league that way, because you don't have to worry about cuts and all that. You are focused on that opponent right away. And JT Daniels, again, he's a guy, most traveled player. A very traveled player, but yet with some talent and perhaps the thought process of getting to the league too. So it's one of those showcase games on your calendar that you're gearing up for. And that's why, I mean, from a big number standpoint, maybe looking for either, like I said, a teaser situation or a chance to catch the points. Because, I mean, Pittsburgh, do they present themselves to be that consistent program to be ranked in a top 20 each and every year? I mean, you lose Pickett. You lose the wide receiver. I mean, he transfers out of the program. If the program was going, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a better opportunity. The transfer portal is so different, right? But I mean, I would like to stay, I think, if I've established something as a wide receiver at Pitt, and certainly you lose a quarterback that way. I just don't know if this is a consistent program to be thought of this way as a top 20 team.
Yeah, Jordan Addison caught 100 balls a season ago, now at USC and out there. At Pitt. What is also fascinating about some of these week one lines as well, I think about how when you played at Colorado, it was kind of the throwback era when teams scheduled really, really tough in the non-con. Right. You've been very vocal about it. We just don't see that as much anymore. No. However, maybe the pendulum's starting to turn back the other way around. We see Cincinnati finally make it to the college football playoff as a group of five team, first group of five team to make it a season ago. And a team like Cincinnati, they've scheduled really, really tough again this year. Arkansas has done the same. Arkansas, one of the toughest non-cons in the country. And that's a team who plays in the SEC West, probably the toughest division in all of college football. So Cincinnati goes to Arkansas. Your two top 25 teams in action there. And for the most part, Razorbacks about a 6.5-point favorite. 51.5 the total. You looking to get in now, or you want to wait this one out here?
Like I said, I have a weapon, and I could tease this one down if I'm looking for a partner too. Because, I mean, Arkansas, they're going to ambush Cincinnati, right, at home. You wait all year long for this type of game, a showcase game, to really set yourself up. You know, like you said, it's the SEC. It's going to be a tough schedule, but you have this showcase game to begin the schedule, beginning of the year. I think Arkansas is ready to ambush the situation with Cincinnati, and then go back again to consistency with a program. Now, Cincinnati's different, right? A little bit more consistent there from a program standpoint, but yet they're ranked lower than Pitt, you know, and that's incredible. But You know, again, those are all opinions, right? And I think we throw those out certainly as a better when it comes to opinions at the beginning of the year. But Arkansas, can they replace Burks, a big playmaker right there? If they can, I think they have the horses to get the job done in this one. But maybe instead of betting and laying 6.5, you're underneath a key number. You can help yourself out, though, from a teaser standpoint.
Yeah, keep in mind, a lot of action on the Razorbacks this offseason. That was at 1.2 and has gone up to 6.5.
Right.
Also, Luke Fickell is not yet named a starting quarterback. So that's also – and that's why you might wait on this one. Now, if you like Arkansas, you at least have a chance to get that inside the 7. But you don't even know who's playing quarterback for Cincinnati. Ben Bryant, who was the guy, he transferred out, went to Eastern Michigan, now comes back to Cincinnati. He and Evan Prater are still battling that out. So that to me is why I'd probably lean, just wait. But either way, that's a tough way to look. The post-Desmond Ridder era will begin there for Cincinnati. Saturday, 3:30 Eastern there in Arkansas. The other SEC team that is hosting a team with a whole lot of buzz and a group that has been really, really solid, that would be Florida hosting Utah. Utah going to Gainesville Saturday night. What a way to start the year. And in our Visa and College Football Guide, just about every one of our analysts in love with this Utah team to win the Pac-12, to make a college football playoff, to be a long shot team to throw in at a big number to win it all this year. And Utah getting a lot of respect in the betting markets here. 3-point favorites. You're right on a key number there, Pritch. Prime time at the Swamp. What do you think here?
It's a key number. It is. Really, do I bet it now or bet it later? I mean, it's interesting because Utah, I think – when you point to what you want to accomplish this year, and Kyle Whittingham has done a great job this way, they're built properly for the college football playoff. I think when it looks at the offensive line and certainly the defensive standpoint, the quarterback rising went to the Manning camp, and a lot of people are excited about his prospects on the next level too. So he's a leader. Because remember, Utah, they had a transfer quarterback from Baylor, and yet they thought he was going to be the guy, but he didn't fit in. Right. But they went on and still won the Pac-12 championship. And then you go to the Rose Bowl and face Ohio State with this rising guy. And, it's kind of interesting. You know, has he elevated his game? Utah is a school in which this game is a target, because if they win this game and they're impressive by going deep into SEC territory, that does set up the rest of their schedule in that showcase game against USC.
Yeah.
And so, the coaching staff and the school in general is looking at this game coming up and from that standpoint. So I think it's everything for Utah. I would back Utah here. I mean, it's a key number, though. I'm comfortable with the 3.
And I think that's a bet now situation, because as people dig into this as well, you've got the longest tenured coach in the Pac-12 and Kyle Whittingham. You're number 18 now, who has just been just a beacon of consistency. And now there's the expectations there to rise behind a Cameron Rising, a quarterback, to another level this year. And you have Florida, such a tough team to handicap this year. Yeah. You go 6-7. You bring in Billy Napier. You have Rob Saleh as a new offensive coordinator. Both come from the Sun Belt to the SEC. This is the way you open. Anthony Richardson only threw 64 passes a season ago, even though the guy is immensely talented as a running quarterback. Right. How does that all work out, especially when it's game number 1? I'd have to think as we get closer to game time, even though in the past you look at, Gators in the Swamp at night at home catching points. Yeah. That's a nice proposition. I have to think this thing, if it gets off a key number, would go to the Utah side up more like the 3.5 or 4.
Maybe, because you worry about the toughness aspect for the Gators a little bit. They're going to have skilled players. I mean, it's just how they recruit too, but the recruiting has to improve. The thing that you might make you nervous if you back Utah is, can they handle that environment? Like, it's different. Deep in SEC territory, that's going to be different. But then we just watched him and Kyle Whittingham. He's capable of getting the troops ready for that game, though.
So fun to be talking college football once again. Two of the big, big games on the slate we'll get to in our final segment. Some Lamar Jackson thoughts as well as we wrap up the show right after this here on the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Back for the final time on the Lombardi Line. Our new Tuesday show here with Mike Pritchard. I'm Ben Wilson. So excited as well to lead in to VEASAN Big yes. Bets. Top of the hour. Dave Ross, Amal Shaw from our South Point Sportsbook Studios. Really pumped for that. Now, part of the new lineup here debuting today at a bunch of our shows as well. Stormy Bonantoni, Matt Brown a little bit later as well. That'll be a really, really fun show, the VEASAN Final Countdown. Tim Murray, Sean King still together, but moved up a little bit into the 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern slot. And then Wes Reynolds, Femi Abebefe tonight in these seats. We're sitting. That'll be really, really fun. So excited here at the network for a new season of coverage, especially with college and NFL getting ready to go. And a couple of the big college games this week too. A lot of storylines.
Yeah,
like Oregon, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in Dan Lanning as the first year head coach in Oregon, who was defensive coordinator at Georgia. You bring in Bo Nix, who has plenty of experience facing Georgia, the former Auburn quarterback, now there at Oregon, and a Georgia team who lost a ton of guys mm-hmm. to the draft a season ago. But look, you're a team that just you took down Alabama. You slayed the Dragon a season ago. If you're Kirby Smart. And so, as a result, the betting market's giving a whole lot of respect Georgia. I mean, it's a 17.5-point line pretty much market-wide. And this also, keep in mind, it is a neutral site. Mercedes-Benz Stadium there in Atlanta, not too far away from Athens.
Not that neutral.
Exactly. But when you look at all, storylines like these, and again, unknowns has been a theme here for week one in college football. How much of a chance do you give Oregon to stay within the number in a game of this magnitude?
I mean, for the entire game, it's different for me. Like maybe a first half situation because Dan Lanning calling the defense and knowing the personnel for Georgia, who has the advantages here? I mean, I watched Oregon play in the Pac-12 championship game. They were not interested in that game for a lot of reasons, right? And you think about what Utah did to them. They beat them down, to be honest with you. So Lanning, from a defense coordinator standpoint, now head coach, he's going to have this team mentally tough, physically prepared. It's the first game of the year. You're going deep into SEC territory again. But the pressure on Stetson Bennett, though, like when you win a national championship and there's no pressure on you, you're surrounded by all these elite players. How are you going to handle it now that you're a champion and you're the starting quarterback and you're leading this team? So we're going to find out a lot about Stetson Bennett, to be honest with you, I believe. And certainly you got Dan Lanning, who pretty much knows some tendencies there from a quarterbacking standpoint. So stopping the run, certainly they're going to have a good plan to hopefully try to do that and make Bennett throw the football and play to what you can do to combat that. So I think the first half can be interesting in this one, though. But for the whole game, Georgia, their roster and the talent level is probably different at this point.
I think I just found Mike Pritchard's first bet of the college football season. Right. First half, I'm seeing first half right now, and this is basically market-wide. First half number, you're looking at Georgia laying 10.
Mm.
That's got Mike Pritchard written all over it. Oregon plus 10 in the first half.
Right.
And I will say this, too, like having covered the SEC in the past, whenever you would watch like an elite Alabama team, the thing that would stand out the most was not really how necessarily explosive they were or how dynamic the playmakers were. It was just you would get late third quarter, early fourth, and in the trenches, those guys were so consistent, and they would just take over. They would just flatten you. And that's like I think the worry you'd have here for Oregon, I would guess, full game. So I definitely share your general thought here. And that's what, even with all the exodus for Georgia, they are still projected to be a top three or four team favored to make the college football playoff. It's not like the cupboard is bare by any means.
No, it's not bare. I mean, this is a team and a school institution that will reload. They will do that. Kirby Smart's got it going that way. But the pressure on this quarterback, man, I am interested to see, especially if you're Lanning and you're familiar with them too, right? And you're familiar with what they want to do. Can you throw in some wrinkles to kind of slow them down? It's no different than Northwestern being able to do certain things against Nebraska and feel pretty comfortable about that. Now, it's a conference game. It's different that way. But this is Oregon, man, and I think Lanning's trying to establish something. Oregon has recruited well. Mario Cristobal leaving Thibodeau, going to the draft. I mean, there were so many things with this Oregon football team last year that is different this year. So, the first half is appealing to me.
Lock it in.
I might have to.
I'm really trying to get Frisch on this. Oregon plus 10 there in the first half. Speaking of games, too, that are marquee matchups between two ranked teams but have pretty big lines. So we just talked about this one, Georgia laying the 17.5. The other marquee game here on the Saturday card, Ohio State, they're up to 17.5 point favorites. This thing has moved up about 3 points since limits were raised and more big money was starting to trickle in here early on in the week. And you look at it now, it's a really, really difficult spot for Marcus Freeman to make his official head coaching debut on a night in Columbus at the Horseshoe. College game day will be there. So Notre Dame at Ohio State, it's kind of it's a similar question you can ask for Oregon. But again, this is a true road game here. And an Ohio State team that is getting a lot more buzz, certainly than Georgia, with the type of names they have on that roster. Big, big favorites, Ohio State, to win the Big Ten, and most people just assume this thing is going to be a runaway. Do you see it being any different?
Well, it's a big number. It really is. I mean, it's going to be festive, too, because of what's going on. I mean, Ohio State starts the year with, what, 5 home games? They even have the big boy against Michigan at home, so you know they're gearing up for a college football playoff run, and then on top of that, too, hopefully a college football national championship, too. So it's Notre Dame. You know, whatever the polls say, that's what they say. But it is a tough spot for Freeman going back against his alma mater. He's also got James Laurinaitis, a legendary linebacker there for Ohio State. That's just not enough, right, from a coaching staff. Maybe the passion could be there, but I don't know about the roster, too, and the scheme. You know, the scheme defensively that Notre Dame runs, can they match up against what Ohio State can present? And I say no. And C.J. Stroud, to me, I mean, if you're the Giants in New York – but why are you not intrigued about that situation? I mean, C.J. Stroud is an incredible player. And you know, I think he's got the experience level, too. This moment is going to be huge. I think, like I said, the atmosphere is going to be festive. Maybe too much for the Irish here.
Okay. Notice how I did not ask in the week one slate about your former team.
No, Colorado, don't do that.
We don't even need to mention.
Against TCU.
14-point home dogs.
14, against TCU?
New really? Coach? I don't know.
Good Lord.
Poor. I didn't want to bring it up. I just mentioned it very, very quickly.
You know, that's a sensitive subject, too, for a lot of reasons for me. Not only the Buffs. I mean, my goodness. Goodness at home. But a high school story, I won't get into it here. But, I hate TCU. I hate them.
Wow.
For the past,
hate?
I hate them.
I don't think I've ever heard Mike Pritchard.
I know.
Use the
I need to
hate.
Go put on the headgear for CU right now. I think I have. No, I don't have eligibility. No.
Can I transfer my? I have 4 years of eligibility. Okay. Can I transfer my?
I would love for you to do
you
that.
Can just be me.
Yes.
Like, oh yeah.
We don't the altitude. Nothing. We don't get anything for that.
You don't get an extra. They give you like a little 6-game package. You can just use whenever.
Wow.
Do one game a year. Just whenever they need it. Be like, oh, I'm.
That's
I'm
a big
come
number.
In.
Plus that's 13.5 at home.
Sorry, Mike. I just, had to have this. That's a Friday night game for what it is worth as well. Again, as we wrap up the show here, great college football discussion. Week one, certainly more CFB week one talk to come. We'll break down more of the week one games tomorrow. We do want to highlight, though, for Michael Lombardi. He'll be back on the show Thursday. I just had a write-up on Lamar Jackson. You can check out all Michael's work at VSiN.com under the NFL tab and then go to Michael Lombardi. So he was saying he doesn't even recognize Lamar Jackson's body. Feels like he has made a lot of big improvements. And we know he's going to likely play this thing out final year of the rookie deal. Pritch, this will be a good way to lead into tomorrow's show. I know we'll talk about this more, but you buy in the hype on what you're hearing from Lamar, the motivation, everything lining up, the health likely to be better for Baltimore as a unit this year. You buy in that general narrative?
I do want to buy it because this guy, Lamar Jackson, still has upside. He still has upside. Think about it. Like, Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, they had to evolve, right? They had to kind of change things, and it looks great so far. Lamar Jackson has a chance to be just different, right? He's bulked up. Michael Lombardi talked about that. But his game has to evolve, too. Like, he's got to become a pocket passer. We already know what he can do athletically. You know, he throws to a lesser athlete as a wide receiver. He throws he hands off the ball to a lesser athlete at running back. The guy is incredible, but can he turn himself into an NFL pocket passer? If he does that, Ben, this guy can certainly be different. One of those difference-making quarterbacks. And I think that upside is highly intriguing to me and to a lot of people in the league.
Yeah, I can tell you're getting excited.
Yeah,
maybe not as excited as San Francisco. That was our big takeaway for today. Mike Pritchard, all in on the Niners this year. We'll continue the discussion on Lamar Jackson in Baltimore tomorrow. I think that's some really interesting angles we can get into as well. We'll also continue our breakdowns of the Week 1 college football season, some more NFL preseason news and notes, any sort of overreactions we think, because there's so much to talk about. We're inside 10 days now to the start of the season. Mike, going to be great hanging out with you every Tuesday, and we're back at it tomorrow. So
yes, sir. Let's
blast
go
as always. Yep. Can't wait for this fall.
Absolutely.
With you here on the Lombardi Line. As we say so long for our producer, Matt Santos, for Mike Pritchard, I'm Ben Wilson. Up next, the debut of VSiN Big Bets with Dave Ross and Amal Shaw.